Welcome to another edition of Money Matters. My name is Mark Cuneverti. Ever since the news hit the wires that Silicon Valley Bank shuttered its doors, people have been filling my email inbox with questions about what it means to them at a grassroots level. It's a scary event to many, and they have a right to be concerned. After all, who wants to wake up one morning and read their bank is closed and that you don't have access to your money? In a bank closure, it can be hours to days before regulators sort out the mess, at least enough to open the doors and turn on the ATM so you can withdraw your funds. For me, it's frustrating, as I can't tell you how many times I've covered bank blow-ups and the promises by bank regulators they've fix the problem. Like, how many times have we been told that, right? As we have progressed along in the U.S. banking system over the years, the idea of an FDIC coverage for bank balances has morphed into somewhat of a joke. I can best explain this by saying the day after the Silicon Valley Bank folded, Secretary of the Treasury and ex-Federal Reserve Chief Janet Yellen went on national TV and said there would be no bank bailout of Silicon Valley Bank. When I saw that on the evening news, I literally yelled out, "Bullshit." In reality, we have arrived at a point in time when I can comfortably say the government is handcuffed when it comes to guaranteeing retail bank accounts over and above $250,000, the supposedly current FDIC limit. The reason is a simple one. When a bank goes under, people everywhere start thinking, what if my bank closed like Silicon Valley Bank did? Because of the way modern-day banking mechanisms work, banks only have to keep a certain percentage of deposits in cash or cash equivalents. This limit is called LCR, which stands for the Liquidity Coverage Ratio, and often referred to as excess reserves. Typically, this ratio is between 10 and 15%. Although banks are highly regulated as to what they can buy with their reserve monies, which are your deposits, they can place these funds in a variety of assets, and not all of them being as immediately liquid as holding a vault full of cash. These other assets allows the banks to make income on customer deposits. The banks also move money back and forth with other banks and the Federal Reserve, which acts like a grease for the financial system. This back and forth movement provides liquidity when and where needed to fund day-to-day operations and the monetary demands of a very complex system. The problem becomes, however, if a lot of people run to their banks to withdraw funds, a bank may have to start selling assets to meet the increased demand. Some of the assets they may be forced to sell at a loss, and if the withdrawals keep coming, the losses can skyrocket. So goes the classic bank run. Just think the classic movie with Jimmy Stewart called It's a Wonderful Life. It details the problem succinctly. Then the dominoes can begin to fall as more people, fearing their bank could fail, run to their banks and close their accounts. With more demand comes more asset selling and more losses and more bank failures. On a larger scale, since the banks trade with each other, one bank failure can cause another bank failure. In conclusion, the modern-day financial system is massively intertwined and heavily invested. The feds cannot afford to let even one bank fail, regardless of the FDIC limits, due to the contagion that might take hold if all involved are not made whole. They also must widely publicize that fact to stem off any fear that may arise in bank customers in general. This is not to say the government will always guarantee all bank failures, as who knows what they will do, and even if it's legal. But what we do know is that no one wants a repeat of the 2008 banking implosion, and right now, the whole mess looks awful familiar, doesn't it? I'm watching the market so you don't have to, and that does it for today's Money Matters. Remember, the newscast expresses my opinion only and is not meant as investment advice or a recommendation to buy or sell any securities, nor represents the opinion of any bank, investment firm, advisor, nor this media outlet, its staff, members, or underwriters. I hold a BA in economics with honors in 1979 and California insurance license OL34249, and I'm a Medicare agent approved in the state of California. Our website is moneymanagementradio.com, where everything is free, our way of saying thank you for listening to your community radio station. My name's Mark Cuneverti.